Well, good evening. This evening we are beginning a new service where we're going to be looking at God at work as the good news of Jesus began to spread around the world. Now, the gospel travelled particularly through the work of Paul. Paul made several missionary trips, often at great cost to himself, in order to tell other people the good news of Jesus. The way that Paul engaged with people, I think, was very significant. And I think there is much that we can learn from him. And as we will see, the world that we live in today and the issues that we face are actually not so different to the world that Paul encountered. So over the next couple of months, we're going to travel with Paul on part of his missionary journey. And we're going to examine how he engaged with the people that he met with. We join Paul on his journey in Acts chapter 16, where after having a vision, Paul decided to set sail for Macedonia. Now, that decision brought Christianity into the West. And so we actually owe a lot to Paul in deciding to make that journey, which enabled the gospel to begin to spread throughout Europe. So this evening, we embark on our own journey to meet up with Paul as we travel to Philippi. Let's have a quick look at where we are heading. Philippi, as you can see, is right at the top of the screen. It is in what we know now as northern Greece, but it wasn't northern Greece at the time. And that is the place that we are travelling to. And as we hear our reading, you'll see a little bit more about Philippi and what it's like. David is going to come and read to us from Acts chapter 16.
It's this evening's reading, Acts chapter 16, verses 11 to 15. And that's page 169 in the Church Bible. We left by ship from Troas and sailed straight across to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there we went inland to Philippi, a city of the first district of Macedonia. It is also a Roman colony. We spent several days there. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city to the riverside, where we thought there would be a place where Jews gathered for prayer. We sat down and talked to the women who gathered there. One of those who heard us was Lydia from Thyatira, who was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a woman who worshipped God, and the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and the people of her house had been baptized, she invited us. "Come and stay in my house if you have decided that I am a true believer in the Lord." And she persuaded us to go. This is the word of the Lord.
What has Christianity got to do with life in 2011? Well, judging by some statistics over the past few years, many people in the UK would probably say, not a lot. Church attendance is said to have been in decline for quite a few years. Recent surveys have shown that there's been a growth in the number of people who declare themselves to be of no religion. And although a fairly high proportion of people in the UK would still describe themselves as Christian, quite a large number of those only visit church once or twice a year. The high profile of new atheists and secularists like Dawkins and Hitchens in the last few years have suggested to some that the church in the UK is in crisis and on the road to extinction. But I have to say, I disagree. Because in my experience, Christianity has everything to do with life in 2011. It is as relevant and necessary today as it was 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, there was a need for the gospel to be shared with people of all backgrounds, all cultures, and all situations, to enable them to hear about Jesus and know the difference that Jesus makes to life. That challenge is still the same today. We heard from Acts chapter 16 that Paul travelled to Philippi to preach the good news to the people there. Philippi is about 10 miles inland from the place that Paul landed in Neapolis. Now, to get there, Paul would have travelled along the Via Ignatia, or the Ignatian Way. This is a famous Roman road, and it's still visible in places today. As you can see from the map, Philippi is now part of northern Greece, but when Paul went there, it was part of Macedonia. And that was a separate place from Greece. And Philippi was a key city in the area. It was probably the urban political centre of the eastern end of its plain. Originally, it was Greek, but now, as we heard, it was a Roman colony. And so the population there would have been made up of both Greeks and Romans. The official language at the time that Paul visited would have been Latin, but it's likely that Greek would have been the language that was used every day. This would have been really quite a cosmopolitan place, a city of hustle and bustle, with a lot of people involved in business, in trade, in politics. And this was the city that Paul went to first to take the gospel into Europe. For Paul, he identified Philippi as a key city to visit. It was a city that people travelled into and out of, a place where there were a large number of people of authority and influence who lived there and worked there. And it was a place that he knew needed the gospel, because he knew that Jesus could make a difference to the people that lived there. There is much talk today, I think, about the relevance of Christianity in the UK, now that we're living in a multicultural country. We were once a Christian nation, people say, but that's not true anymore. And there are questions about the relevance of Christianity in a country where people are so immersed in business, in politics, in different attitudes, where values and lifestyle seem so different to those that Jesus modelled. But think about Philippi again. An important city in the country, a place where there's a mixture of commerce and politics, a multicultural city where people were proud of their roots, and people spoke different languages side by side. A city where people lived with different standards and values as they mixed both their Greek and their Roman heritage. Does it sound familiar? Is city life really that different today? As we look at this journey that Paul made to Philippi, two things strike me. Firstly, we're reminded that the gospel is rooted in history. These are real events that happen to real people in real places. It is possible to still see part of that Roman road that Paul travelled along. Christianity isn't just a bit of airy-fairy wishful thinking to make us feel better. The truth is rooted in history. And secondly, I'm reminded that the gospel is just as relevant to life in our towns and cities as it was then. There are times when I think it can be easy to feel that the world we live in as Christians is poles apart from the world that our colleagues inhabit. We long for people to know Jesus, but where do we start when they seem so disinterested? But we shouldn't be fearful of the authority and the influence that's seen in Chelmsford or in London. We shouldn't be put off by the fact that people have different values and priorities today. The challenge that we face is not that different to the challenge faced by Paul when he ventured into Philippi. And like Paul, we are not alone. We need to follow God's leading as we seek to tell others about Jesus. And on a personal note, I think it's also good to remind ourselves that just as the gospel is as relevant in Chelmsford today as it was in Philippi then, that Jesus is also relevant in whatever place you are in right now. You know, we don't always have to travel to another town for the place that we're in to change. The world around us changes every day. Our responsibilities change. Our work changes. People come into our life. People go from our life. And all of these things impact us. And so often, I think, in our walk with God, we have to learn to walk with Jesus again in these different circumstances. But I want to encourage you tonight that Jesus is just as relevant now as he was in the place that you were in before. And he will walk with us in the new places in our life if we will invite him to. The good news of Jesus is relevant in all places, and it reaches out to all people, crossing barriers that we as humans might put in the way, and meeting all kinds of need. When Paul reached Philippi, the first person that he met and spent time with was Lydia. In many ways, Lydia was a surprising first contact for Paul to make. Firstly, she was a woman, and we know that at that time, women weren't very highly regarded. Lydia, we heard, wasn't a local woman. She was from Thyatira, and she was a businesswoman. The business that Lydia was in as a dealer in purple cloth implies that she's likely to have been probably quite a rich lady. The Romans especially valued purple dye. Kings and magistrates wore purple robes, and commanders wore togas that had a purple border. The dye actually came from a little shellfish, and it had to be collected drop by drop, and it was exceedingly valuable. So Paul's first encounter was with a rich businesswoman who worshipped God. And Paul sat down and told her about Jesus. You see, it doesn't matter if someone is wealthy or poor, if they're a company director or employed or unemployed, if they're married or single, male or female, Jesus is relevant to everyone. In Lydia's case, she already had a knowledge of God. What she needed to do was to understand about Jesus so that she could follow him. Her needs were quite different to the needs of some of the other people that Paul met and to the needs of some of the people that Jesus met. But still, she needed to meet with Jesus. These verses remind me of the importance of sharing the gospel in our town and in our workplace, not just to those who we think perhaps have some obvious needs, but to those who, in many ways, look like they've got life sorted. You see, at the end of the day, when the gates swing closed behind their car as they drive up the driveway and the front door shuts behind them, they still need Jesus. And Jesus still wants to invite them into his everlasting kingdom. Doesn't matter how much security we build around ourselves, we cannot buy our own health or happiness or eternal life. We cannot make ourselves exempt from the pain and the suffering that we have to face in this world. But one day we're invited to share such a wonderful place with the living God. And surely everyone deserves the right to hear about such an invitation. We may be living a long way from Philippi, but I don't get the impression that Lydia was that different to a lot of the people that we meet day to day. The people that we work with, the people that we walk past on the streets, that we sit next to on the train, they need to meet Jesus just as much as Lydia did. Jesus is relevant to every one of us, and that includes you. He can make a difference to your life today, and he can make a difference through your life today. But like Lydia, we need to be ready and willing to be used by God to continue his mission. When Lydia listened to what Paul was saying, she was very quick to make a response. First, we read that she was baptized, not only her, but the rest of the people in her house too. And secondly, she provided a way for Paul to continue in his mission by accommodating Paul and the people that travelled with him. There are several things that this highlights to me as we hear of Lydia's response. Firstly, I'm reminded that although the Bible talks a lot about money and how we should view it, wealth need not be a barrier that prevents us from following Jesus. You see, the important thing is what you do with your wealth, whether you use it selfishly for your own gain or whether you use it for furthering God's work. Lydia was clearly generous and hospitable. She was so keen to serve in this way that she actually had to strongly persuade Paul to stay with her. But she used what she had to allow him to continue his work. And secondly, I'm reminded that we all have a responsibility to witness, but that it's God's responsibility to bring salvation. I've often had people say to me, they don't want to tell other people about Jesus because they're not evangelists. It's not their gift. They can't do it. And in some ways, I agree, we're not all called to be like Paul, to travel around from city to city telling people about Jesus. But we are all called to witness, to share our faith with those that we know and meet every day. Now, I agree that this is still quite a daunting prospect for most of us. But the good news is we only need to be obedient in witnessing. What happens next is entirely up to God. Verse 14 in that reading makes this exceedingly clear. Paul was the missionary. God was at work. It was Paul who spoke to Lydia, but the Lord opened up her mind to hear. And I think that's important for us to note. Most people don't come to us saying, I want to know about Jesus. In fact, I don't think I've ever had anyone come to me and say, I want to know about Jesus. We have to go to them, to seek them out, to tell them about Jesus, just like Paul did with Lydia. But it's the Holy Spirit who works in them. So we don't have to feel overburdened by what their response will be. All we need to do is be faithful to God's leading and then trust him to sort out the results. Jesus is relevant in every place and to all kinds of people, but it's our responsibility to share the good news with those that we meet with. And I recognise that for most of us today, that is still a hard thing to do. Sometimes we find it easier to demonstrate God's love, to model Jesus in our attitudes, in our actions, so that other people might get a glimpse of the good news in us. And that kind of witnessing is crucial, and it helps us to live in a way that is following Jesus. But I don't think actions are ever an alternative for words. There are always some occasions when it's necessary to tell people about Jesus. So where do we start? Well, I think Paul's actions can help us as we're seeking to tell others about Jesus. When Paul arrived at the city, the first place he went to was the river, where he thought there might be some Jews that had gathered there for prayer. There doesn't seem to have been a synagogue in Philippi, and that may be because there needed to be 10 men to start a synagogue, and all of those who were praying were women. Whatever the reason, Paul went there to make contact with a particular group of people. For Paul, here was a community of people who knew about God, and he used that as a way in, an opening to tell them about Jesus. So often, the way to engage with people is to find a point of contact with them. Today, this might be a common interest, people who are like-minded and share the same enthusiasm for something, where a bridge can be built and an opportunity given to say something of the relevance of Jesus in life today. Alternatively, it might be a common need that a group of Christians identifies and seeks to meet, and in that environment, they're able to say something about Jesus. Clearly for us, we wouldn't go down to the river and look for people who are praying. If we did, I don't think we'd find any. But maybe those same principles can be applied to connect with groups of people and in order to tell them about Jesus. And when we do that, it might be that just as Paul experienced, one person particularly makes a connection with you. It's interesting that Lydia is the only one of the women to be named, but we know there was a group of women there. I'm sure she wasn't the only one that listened to Paul, but she was the one in the group that he particularly connected with. Quite often, within a group, I've found that you particularly connect with one individual. It may not even be that that's the one that responds first, but it might be that they are the person of influence within a group, one that the others look up to, and therefore a key person within the group dynamics. In my experience, that person is worth looking out for. The good news of Jesus is as relevant today as it was when Paul was travelling. It's as relevant in Chelmsford as it was in Philippi. It makes a difference to us just as much as it did to Lydia. But like Lydia, we need to respond to God's word and be ready to be used to continue his mission, both in words and in actions, so that the good news of Jesus can continue to change lives today. Let's take a few moments to pause and reflect on God's word to us this evening. Loving God, I pray for each one of us that you would enable us to seek you and find you in the place that we are in tonight, and that you would give us courage and boldness to speak out for you. Lord, take us and show us particular individuals that might be our starting place. And we thank you that today you love all people of all backgrounds and all cultures, in all places. And we thank you for the privilege that we have in continuing your mission. Lord, help us to be faithful and follow your leading as we speak out for you. In Jesus' name, amen.